Welcome to the Mended Futures Podcast.
On today's episode, we interviewed virtually, so we have on some headphones, Chris Beach.
What'd you call me?
It's his last name.
All right. Who is he?
He's the CEO of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. So we're going to explore some topics surrounding fatherhood. And as always, we want you to think about, where are you on the river? And how can you, as an everyday person, make an impact on the community, whatever community you're living in?
Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoy.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm not loving the headphones.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get over myself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we all got to at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear really well.
Yeah.
What can you hear with these headphones on?
Everything. You can hear ourselves breathing. You can hear ourselves burp.
Yes. Don't burp.
I won't.
That would be
weird.
I
really will try not to.
Okay. The guest doesn't really know us that well.
No. And he's on the computer.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce him?
I would. Today we have Chris from the Fatherhood Foundation. How are you, Chris?
I can't hear you. I don't have any headphones on.
That was perfect.
I'm doing great. So
that was a dad joke.
I'm full of them.
That was excellent. Thanks for being with us today.
I just appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to doing more with y'all.
So who are you, Chris?
Well, I'm with the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. I'm the CEO here, and the reason I do what I do is because I'm passionate about being a strong father. Not having a father in my life when I was younger led me to wanting to be there for my wife, my children, to make sure that I'm taking an active role in the lives, everything they do. And so that's what drives me. That's what gets me up on every day. That's what gives me the passion for what I'm doing. So that's kind of me. I'm from the Richmond, Virginia area, and just excited about getting programs out to men to help them be stronger parents, co-parents, fathers, husbands, all the above across the state. So the program has grown significantly, and I'm just excited to be reaching anyone and anyone just willing to listen about how we can make stronger men. So, but bottom line, the Fatherhood Foundation, our mission is to strengthen men and educate men to become better co-parents / husbands and more active fathers to drive true systemic change. And that's the boxed answer. What that really means is that if we don't get to the root of problems, we're not going to solve down the road problems. We are truly a proactive nonprofit because a lot of adverse child experiences, a lot of things facing our society, whether it is education, whether it's poverty, homelessness, incarceration, a lot of it has roots in a broken, fragmented family. And as I was saying earlier, if we don't give men the skills to be a productive father, a productive co-parent, husband, whatever it may be, then we're not doing them a service. For example, we went around to all the hospitals across the state of Virginia, and there were plenty of classes for moms. There were classes for couples. There were classes for grandparents. There were no classes just for dads before the baby's born.
Hmm.
I take that back. There was one in one hospital. But now we are on just about everywhere. We're still working on two more hospital chains, and we're doing the New Dad 101 program, which is a class for dads, by dads before the baby's born. It's a virtual class, so you can take it anytime you want to. It's free for in partnership with Vision 30. And what it is just common sense conversations by men for men. And we've been asked, can mom join in this class? And I say no, because the reality is when we had our first child, my wife looked at me and said, don't ask any stupid questions. So how many questions did I ask? Zero, because I thought that all my questions were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have mom next to you who knows the answers to so many of these questions, men feel that they can't ask those questions. So when you put a bunch of men in a room together and one person asks a question that he think might be dumb, and the other guy's like, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe he doesn't know about this one. And all of a sudden, we start asking more and more questions. So the New Dad 101 program is a nationally licensed program. You could take that class 100 times and never have the same class because each dad that teaches it has different lived experiences. Mm-hmm. And we always start all of our classes, regardless of what it is there's no such thing as a perfect dad. There's no such thing as a dumb question. And the most important relationship you're ever going to show your children is the one with their mom. So that's what we start all of our classes off with, because you can't replace mom, but you can give dads and men the skills they need to be better dads. So that's the first program we do. We do the New Dad 101. We go into jails and do the Inside Out Dad class, which is a National Fatherhood Initiative training class, and teach men, 80% of men in jails did not have fathers in their life.
Say that again for the
80%
people.
Of men in jail have stated that they did not have a father in their life.
80%.
80%. 92% of men in jail are dads.
Wow.
So they didn't have dads to show them how to be dads. So going in there and giving them the skills they need, so when they come out, they have the skills they need to be a co-parent, a husband, a father. That's huge because a lot of them don't know how to co-parent. One of the dads, when we were in the jail program, I told him the three rules. And I said, the most important relationship you're going to show your children is the one with their mom. And he said, every time I see the mom, I want to smack her. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to talk about that in this class. one of the stories we love telling is there was a dad that was taking our program. And once he got out, he started asking mom what he could do to help her.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he started gaining visitation with his child because it's not just about him. It's about the child. So working together for the betterment of the children. So that's number one. That's the class where called Inside Out Dad. We go into rehab centers and community groups and teach the 24/7 dad class, which is similar to the Inside Out Dad class, but it's for people who are outside of jail. We have the Pro Fathering 15 class in partnership with the National Fatherhood Initiative, which is a class that's online. It's 15 classes, 15 minutes each, $15. And the great thing is if you partner with Vision 30, you get that class for free too. So it's all online on your own schedule. So we do that as well. We also offer marriage coaching for couples because and marriage and relationship coaching because we know that's one of the hardest things is finding a marriage coach. And marriage is hard. It's tough. But if you coach through it, then we're not looking back, we're looking forward. We offer reduced price marriage coaching where the average cost of a marriage coaching session is anywhere between $150 to $250. We offer for $25. We have the trained professionals. We just subsidize the cost so they can benefit from that. So those are kind of our programs that we offer, and we're trying to get those across the state of Virginia.
One thing that I was going to say is I like how it's a both and situation because I'm a mom and motherhood is incredibly important. And you're not saying either or, you're saying both and. And it's very important for fathers to get involved. I mean, you can't ever underestimate the power of the male influence. So I really appreciate that.
Did you have something like the Fatherhood Foundation to help you learn how to be a father? Because you say that you didn't have a father figure in your own life, but you knew you didn't want that for your own kids. So how did you learn how to be a father?
Well, my dad was a very active part of my early childhood.
Got it. Okay.
As I started to grow up, I started learning some stuff about my father that I did not know. And one of the toughest things that I kind of one of my toughest experiences in life was when I went to my mom's shop where she was working and she closed the door behind herself and said, your dad's not coming home tonight. Well, he was incarcerated. Hmm. So all of a sudden my world changed, got flipped upside down to where I had a person to look up to take care of the family. And I had to start doing that, my sister and my mom. And then after he was released, the divorce started happening and no child should ever have to get between mom and dad from punching each other. So I saw that I was in the middle of that. So, but I had, I honestly, you know, when I go into jails, the first jail that I ever went into was the jail where my dad was. Mm. And I was so nervous. I'm like, I've been on the other side of the glass, but I've never been inside here. Wow. And it was very nerve wracking. And, you know, a lot of people will judge me for going in just thinking I'm doing it just because it's a feel good thing to try to teach other dads. But the reality is, when I look at people who are incarcerated, I said, it's hard for you in here, but imagine me and the kid on the other side of the glass looking in at this hero. It's a lot harder for the kid. I'm telling you that. Hmm. So, you know, that's my inspiration. That's where I kind of draw it from. And I had, you know, while my dad wasn't a part of my life for years, I had great men in my life, such as my coaches. You know, my coaches were the guys next to me, my teammates, other dads in the community. So I never had a lack of positive male role models in my life. And that's the story of a lot of people in our community. They have positive male role models that kind of guide them along the way. But, you know, it's great to be a male role model and have friends and all that stuff. But as you were saying, by being a mom, it's different.
It's not really a replacement for a father.
Exactly. And if dads don't know how to be a dad, then they just, you know, they don't know how to do it. So that's what we're doing. We're basically educating men how to be and giving them opportunities to strengthen themselves through education. So that's kind of my driver. That's where it came from. And that's what kind of keeps me going on a daily basis.
Chris, the title of this podcast is Mended Futures. And you just explained how you are the product of a mended future. So when you think about what you're doing with fatherhood, you're becoming who you needed when you were younger, but you're also becoming who your own dad probably needed when he was working on parenting. So that's powerful.
Yeah, I agree. And then my wife and I have four boys. They're ages 20, 18, 16, and 14, two in college, two in school still. And bottom line is, you know, as nonprofit workers, as y'all know, you know, we don't set the world on fire when it comes to pay. But we were driving in the car one day and I just picked it up from the shop and it was like $800 repair. And I said, boys, whatever you do, go into a job that makes money. Because, you know, these $800 repairs are expensive and they kind of chuckled and all that kind of stuff. And then one of my sons looked at me and said, yeah, but dad, you're making a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps me going. You know, it's that our boys are seeing that and they realize that, you know, if you want to do something good in the community and you love what you do and you can make a difference and continue to do that. So I'm hoping I change a few lives as we go along. But the bottom line is the dads in our program, our donors, the people who sponsor us and support us, allow me to do this work. So I've been given this gift to give to the community, but I can't do it without the people who support us. So
I love it. So thinking along that same vein, 518 Family Services is becoming 518, meaning that there's going to be more of an emphasis on prevention and especially reconciliation. And most of us in the helping space in nonprofits are used to intervention. And if you think about that continuum, or if you think about the visual of the river, typically we're in the river near the waterfall. But also there is prevention work to be done. Are you seeing a similar evolution in fatherhood where a lot of your programming started as intervention, like in a jail setting, and now you're doing both and again, where you're doing interventions but also some prevention?
Exactly. I mean, that's the work we need to be doing. I'm seeing a shift not only in programming, but I'm seeing a shift in funding as well, where they're just like, if we don't get to the root of the problem first, mm-hmm. then we're just going to continue to be paying for downstream issues. Bottom line, like, for instance, I worked for the largest mentoring agency in the United States. We all know what it is, but I'll just and we had 300 boys on the waiting list, mm-hmm. 300 boys on the waiting list. So every time we got a man in, we put him with the mentor. We put the mentor with the child like that. But for me, I'm like, what if dad was that mentor? What if we got to the dad before the baby was born? What if we gave dads the skills they needed to be that mentor for that child? And what if we gave mom and dad both the skills in a relationship to work together for the betterment of that child? You know, and it's not just all about me both ways, and they just go their own way. Given the skills to work together in stronger relationships. And it does, you know, a lot of times the relationships that we hear about the most are the broken relationships. Well, you know, yes, but we've had success of seeing those broken relationships where the parents work together for the child. And that's where we can, if that's where we have to dive in, let's dive in right there and get to the root of that, so we get the two parents working together. And that's, you know, that's why New Dad 101 is going across the state so quickly and growing so quickly, is because the number one indicator of whether a dad will be involved in the life of their child is if they are present before the baby is born and there at the time of birth.
Wow.
So, and the majority of one out of every three children in Virginia don't have dad there at time of birth. So if we can change that to one out of four, we're affecting a good percentage of people. If we can get that down to one out of five, we're helping a good group of people. But just giving dads the skills, because a lot of these dads, like I said, 80% of the men in jail didn't have a dad in their life. If they don't know how to do it, it's like handing them the keys to a car and saying, here, drive the car. Well, I don't know how to drive it yet. Nobody showed me. We're trying to give them the skills to show them how to be there. So, and the confidence, that's huge. We have the most diverse classes because in every single class we have, everybody had a different background. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a different upbringing. So that's the beauty of our classes, is that nobody's had the same situation. One of the classes that we had, there was a gentleman that was doing like this the whole time. He was shaking. And he's like, by the end of the class, I said, are any more questions? And he literally was one of the bravest things I've ever seen. He's like, I know all of you have been watching me this entire time and I can't sit still and I'm fidgeting. He's like, I'm an alcoholic and I need help. And I don't know where to go for help. And in that room right there, there was a gentleman that worked at a brewery, and they had resources to help people who are facing addictions. Wow. And they sat there and talked for an hour past the class. Mm. And they worked together to help the dad get the skills he needed. Because he said, you know what, my dad was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic, and I don't want to be like my dad. Mm. That's why he came to the class. So, again, we got to the root of the problem before the baby's born.
I just got chills. And I don't even know the men that you're talking about. But that's a brotherhood through fatherhood.
It is.
And you hear about mom groups all the time, but we don't normalize dad groups. You know, men do fraternal things. You know, they golf, they hang out at bars, they hunt, they do other sporting things. But do we normalize dads hanging out as dads?
Or young men hanging out intentionally with each other before they become husbands and fathers.
Right.
Is there a culture of, you know, males, men communicating in an emotionally sort of intelligent and intentional way?
Right.
And that's the thing, which is we have to do more of that. We have to get men to talk to other men. I'm starting to see a shift. I really am starting to see a shift in that, because and past society, it's always been men don't ask questions, they just figure it out. Mm. But the thing is, if we don't know how to fix it, we have to go and learn about it. Well, same thing with fatherhood, same thing with marriage. If we don't know how to learn about it, we got to fix it. So I've been fortunate enough in my life to find some great men that have helped me and guided me through this journey. And one of the things I'd love to do is I'd love to, you know, when we talk about fatherhood groups, why don't we start fatherhood groups? I'm like, because I don't have the same lived experience as this guy. We can give you all the things you need to start a fatherhood group, but I'm going to have somebody that has, you know, like right now, the toughest thing for me is my wife and I had children young. So our youngest child was 14. Parents who are our age have 14-year-olds, but we also have two college kids. Mm-hmm. So people who have college kids are older than us. So we got to find that group that's kind of like us. And there's, you know, it's just very niche. So when we're trying to start fatherhood groups, I always say, hey, listen, Fatherhood Foundation will give you the resources you need. We'll give you the tools you need. We'll give you anything you need to start a fatherhood group. We just have to have a leader that is going to lead it. So I definitely believe that men need other men in their lives to talk to about these issues too, and not be afraid to be vulnerable.
Right.
That's what we need more of.
Life is messy, and sometimes people just need someone safe to talk to. We're here to listen because everyone's story should be heard. 518 Counseling exists to empower children, adults, and families to overcome past experiences and create a path to being stronger both mentally and spiritually. Family is a nuanced concept. 518's family care team brings simple solutions to complex situations through professional intervention, interpersonal support, and parenting education. We strive for an outcome of mending families and keeping children safe. 518's Connect team equips and empowers volunteers with the training and support to serve confidently by matching their passions with opportunities. Our outreach is targeted to build partnerships with individuals, churches, agencies, and businesses. At Hat Creek Camp, we provide exceptional camp experiences with careful attention to the needs of youth, encouraging campers to grow through trust-based challenges and successes. It's a place to build relationships, inspire change, and transform lives.
And Chris, I would say to you and to our listeners, we're hearing a theme throughout multiple episodes where people are paid to do the work. You're paid to do fatherhood. We're paid to be in the child welfare space. There is power in the men who are not paid to do fatherhood. And we're, you know, it is your why, it is your passion, but the power of people who are everyday people, who are the neighbors, who are the village. You can't be the father all over Virginia. Mm-hmm. You can be the person carrying the torch. You can be the person who is the connector or subsidizing some of the cost. But as people are listening, you know, we talk about the Vision 30 river, the healthy river, the unhealthy river. Where are you in the river? And if fatherhood is something that you are passionate about, you can connect with Chris. We'll have all of that information. You can connect with 518. There are fatherhood programs here. If this is something you're interested in, even just through your church or through your work or coaching, you know, when you're the unpaid coach of a little league, you are impacting fatherhood. So I think it's important for listeners to realize, I don't have to be the expert. You've got the expert here on the screen, mm-hmm. who has a lot of connections. Mm-hmm. So I really think that's important. I have a question for you. Adolescents are my chosen species. I kind of told you that I've always worked with middle schoolers and high schoolers.
I was a middle school teacher. Understood. Yeah.
I love the idea of going upstream. What should we be doing with middle school boys, high school boys? You're talking about expectant fathers. What's an even farther upstream approach to this fatherhood? And I think that's important. Futures can be mended in a generation. It's not something that's going to take 100 years. So what would you say to middle school boys or high school boys?
Well, first of all, I want to go back on something that you said, that I'm the expert on fatherhood. I am by far nowhere near an expert on fatherhood. I've yet to find the perfect dad. So if y'all know him, I'd love to hire him and let him work for me. So but there are no such thing as perfect dads. Definitely. That's our number one rule. But no, we are trying to figure that out. The biggest thing is, you know, people who model positive behaviors, like you said, the coaches, coaches in our lives. Like I wouldn't be the man I am today without the coach in my life. And there's an amazing football coach in this area who works in a very, in a school where there's not many fathers whatsoever. But what does he do? He brings his kids out onto the field with him. He has his wife comes out and makes meals. He has the children, the players over to his house. He's modeling good behavior. He's modeling what we'd like to see. It has to start you know, it has to start grassroots. It really does. Right. I really believe that. It's not going to happen unless somebody says, hey, we need to do this, or hey, let's get together as a group. Like you were saying earlier, if we need, I'd love to train more volunteers for what we're doing. But the thing is, our classes, you have to be specifically trained to take these classes. But I would love to train somebody to say, hey, why don't you go ahead and start a fatherhood group? Mm-hmm. Just get together and talk about dad stuff. I'll give you the topics. I'll give you everything right. you need to do this. Just start a fatherhood group. Get dads together and talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and then here's your topic today. You know, dads and disciplining. How do you discipline your children? Discuss. Dads and cell phones. What do you do as dads to regulate cell phone usage? Discuss. Dads and relationship with mom. What do you do? Keep your relationship alive. Discuss. Dads and sex. What do you do? What, you know, in your intimacy and all that stuff to keep it alive and well in your relationship. Discuss. Dads aren't talking about that. We're talking about the scores of the Commanders game. We're talking about the score of, you know, the World Series is coming up. We're talking about politics. We're not talking about being dads mm-hmm. because we're supposed to know those answers. We don't know those answers.
And moms are talking about being moms. So mm-hmm. we have somehow normalized talking about momming. So I'm going to reflect on that. And I'm, you know, I hope our listeners do too. So how can we normalize fatherhood? I'm thinking about a connection between a program here or a grassroots movement here with a marriage and family counseling arm of 518. And we are trying to expose Vision 30 partners and Vision 30 citizens to healthy relationships and table talks around healthy relationships. And there's a national kind of curriculum called No Jerks, where you don't want to be a jerk, and you also don't want to date a jerk. And as some of us who are in this teen space started to realize, you know, there's domestic violence, there's mental health, there's substance abuse, there's the breakdown of fatherhood, and some of this centers around the absence of healthy friendships, the absence of healthy romantic relationships. And so we kind of just started a movement about a year ago to talk more about healthy relationships. When we first started these conversations, we realized that some teenagers or some people don't know anyone who's married. They may not know anyone who is happily in a relationship. Or we talked about stop signs and yield signs because teenagers love to talk about driving. And we were trying to get to, what are some stop signs? What are some non-negotiables in relationships? And it was so eye-opening to hear that physical violence wasn't necessarily a stop, but bad breath, absolutely, across every circle, is a hard stop. So we're starting. Yeah, that's one great thing about a virtual meeting here.
Exactly.
No bad breath.
But so many of the things that we're doing in the child welfare space or in the nonprofit space has to do with fatherhood. And some people don't have examples of anything healthy.
Bingo. I mean, that is by far, you said it perfectly. A lot of the issues that we're trying to fix down the road stem from the very beginning. And we want to make sure, as the Fatherhood Foundation, we give every community across the state the skills they need to start from the very beginning.
And don't assume, you know, it's so educator to say, give them a pretest, but do not assume that people know whatever it is that you're talking about, the norms of fatherhood or the norms of healthy relationships. And oftentimes that's why we won't ask questions.
Right. Well, dads don't want to ask questions because we don't want to seem like we don't know, mm-hmm. although we don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just the way dads are wired. Like I told you, when I was with my wife, she said, don't ask any stupid questions. I didn't ask a single question because I didn't want to seem stupid. But, you know, that's why we are so excited to partner with people like y'all in Vision 30, because like our new dad 101 class, if you type in Vision 30 dad, you get the class for free. Mm-hmm. So we're not looking to make money off educating people. We want people to do this.
Yeah.
You know, we want to give people the, what they need at no cost or low cost so they can be stronger in the relationships. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that you're nailing it right now.
Hmm. Speaking of your partnership with Vision 30 and 518's Connect team, before we started recording, you mentioned something that you said to Dave, the leader of the Connect team, when he was talking to you about the starting the Dare to Dad initiative. Could you share that again?
Oh, yeah. No, Dave reached out to me and he said, you know, Chris, y'all are already doing the work. How can we, instead of reinventing the wheel, how can we take what y'all are doing and bring it down here to the 518? And I said, this is exactly how we're going to grow fatherhood programming. We didn't invent the curriculum. We did invent the New Dad 101 curriculum. That's ours. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the curriculum, we're just taking it and making it accessible for anybody across the state. And now, Dave, y'all have the Pro Fathering 15 courses. Y'all have the New Dad 101 courses at no cost. But basically, it's just what the foundation is doing is we're not creating things. We're taking things that are there and making it accessible for dads to use. That's the biggest thing that we want to do. So, you know, people are out there listening and they want to start something fatherhood. Don't reinvent the wheel. We didn't. Mm-hmm. Work with us to do that. And that's one of the things when we talk about nonprofits, and I see it here in Richmond all the time. New nonprofits are starting up all the time. And I'm just like, but they already do this at this organization. Why don't you just partner with them and pool your resources and make a bigger nonprofit? You know, but but I want to do it in honor of my, you're still doing it in honor of whoever that was or your pet or your child and all that kind of stuff. You're still doing it in their honor. It doesn't have to be named after them. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's, I'm seeing more and more of that where I made another nonprofit that does this. I'm like, they already do that. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's nobody that really does what we do. And I love that because I'd love to have a chapter in Lynchburg. I'd love to have a chapter in Southwest Virginia. We are getting ready to hire a full-time person in the Tidewater area. We're going to hire a full-time person in Southwest Virginia in our five-year plan. We're going to have a full-time person everywhere that's just going to use the programs that we've bought together in one spot and just share them. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't reinvent anything. We just used the programs that are there.
So if you're interested in fatherhood, don't worry about getting a degree or studying it, or, you know, it's out there and the Fatherhood Foundation can help you get started and start talking. And I always say to people, don't wait until it's perfect. You know, having an intro conversation with your buddies or with your own children or with your own father, that's a great start. Start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And you got to start. I mean, if you don't start, you can't keep going. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you.
So how do you measure that this is working? You know, in nonprofits, we apply for grants and we, you know, interventions oftentimes are easier to measure. Do you measure in statistics? Do you measure in stories? How do you know this is working?
That's the toughest thing we have to do, as you know, in the human services, because you can't say that because you took our class, you're a better dad. We can't say that. But we get our statistics from the number of people we're able to serve and reach. We get our statistics from stories of people coming back and telling us, hey, we were able to gain visitation rights with our child because we took this class in jail. That's one of our favorite things to hear. Mm-hmm. Or we were able to, somebody comes to us and said, I have court appointed fatherhood training that I have to do. And if I do this, I will gain visitation and I'll be able to start to get to see my children again. They take our class, they get to see children again. Bam, we get to say that we did that this because we offered the class. But the hardest thing for us is we can't say because you took the class, you're going to be a better dad. We can't take credit for that. But the one thing that I can say is in all of our classes and all of our resources, all of our surveys that we do, the one that's 100% is would you recommend our class to another dad? And that's 100%.
Wow.
Because, I mean, that's just, you know, did you gain more knowledge on this? Some of them already might know a lot about that. So they say, no, about the same. You know, but when it says the one question that's always 100% in every single class we do, would you recommend this to another dad? It's yes, because of all the classes I've ever taught, I have never heard a single dad say, I want to be a bad dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
every single person wants to be a good dad. They just might not know how to do it.
Chris, we're recording this episode not too long after a series or a documentary on Netflix came out called Daughters. And that makes me wonder if fatherhood is trending.
I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping it is. I honestly do. I mean, I know Florida passed a huge fatherhood bill that is going to focus on getting active fathers. I know that the First Lady has been working with us to spread the New Dad 101 across the state. I know the governor has declared National Fatherhood, Virginia Fatherhood Week for the past 2 years and had breakfasts during that week of Father's Day to really, you know, put a focus on dads. I know the governor's cabinet is working to do reentry programs for fathers so they can reenter society and do stronger, be stronger fathers when they come out. It is trending. It's starting to trend. And I think it's because of conversations like these and conversations of people that are like, we can't continue to put Band-Aids on these problems and not go to the root of these problems. We have to start taking upstream approach to solve downstream problems. That's why I love when I saw Vision 30 the first time, the river and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We got to start upstream. We have to start upstream, solve downstream problems, because if we continue to jump in the middle of the stream, we're going to continue to have these problems because you started way before.
Mm-hmm. And it's exhausting.
It's exhausting, yes.
And inefficient.
Bingo. Hmm. Bingo.
Our CEO, he has said we have like various synergy sessions about once a quarter. And in one of them, I've never forgotten it, he said, a healthy family is the most effective and efficient nonprofit. And that is very akin to what you were saying about what if we didn't need a bunch of nonprofits to take kids out of unhealthy rivers. What if the family and the parents were stable enough and were equipped with the skills to be able to keep their own kids and their own families out of the unhealthy river?
That's the dream. That's mm-hmm. the dream. I would love that. We have these little calendars that we keep on our desks right here. And, the one that's it's funny you say that, you know, little quotes and all stuff. This quote literally says, a good father was one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Billy Graham said that. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right. You know, if we can get dads to do what they're supposed to do, to be step up, you know, everybody here to turn deadbeat dad a lot. Well, you know, let's get those deadbeats into upbeats and turn those around. So.
That's amazing. Is there anything you would like to touch on that we haven't touched on yet before we wrap up?
Just the biggest thing is in the communities that y'all serve, if you want to do something fatherhood, don't reinvent it. It's done. I'll be down this month hosting the gathering with the Vision 30. I'm so excited about that. We're having a dad's panel. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about growing what we're doing and the reach we're doing, because my goal is, and I've already talked to Dave about this, that works with y'all. I want to hire somebody and train them down in your community to do the work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they work for us down there and then they're going to spread the word down there. I can't be everywhere. Fatherhood Foundation can't be everywhere, but people, like you said, they'll step up and volunteer. Let's find one volunteer that I pay that will get many volunteers to start the groups, to start dad groups, to start teaching in the jails. That's my goal, and that's what I'd love to do. So if there's anybody in Lynchburg that's interested in getting involved, please go to our website. I know y'all will share all that stuff on there. Mm-hmm. Get in touch with me. I will drive down there. I will be there. It's a short trip for me. I love that area. Anybody who's watching this, who's interested in doing things fatherhood, please let me know. You don't have to do it by yourself. We're here for you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, your enthusiasm is contagious, and we are excited for continued partnership with the Fatherhood Foundation.
Well, I look forward to it, and I look forward to meeting you all in person. So yes. I'm very excited about that, too. Thank you all for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.